Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think of, y'all say you can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't do certain things. You don't matter how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. Travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Praise the Lord. Happy New Year. Well, we still have a few minutes before the new year began, and we see we have a caller, 8068. We'll get to you in a minute, caller. We just thankful that you could join us tonight. We are going to kick the new year in on a different note, and I was just looking at the Times Square and how you have millions gathered together there for their party, and so we decided we wanted to do something different, and we're going to pray the new year in. I know some services around the city is having, you know, watch services or whatever they may call them, but God just impressed on our heart to just have prayer, because when we reflect back over 2012, it could have been a blessing, but there were some things that definitely bought headlines in the news, and it could have been devastating as well. So for those who don't know God, we are opening the platform. We're going to be praying with you. We're going to be sharing testimonies. We're going to be just seeking the Lord for this nation and for the world. It's not just about America, but there is a lot of things going on throughout the whole world. And we don't want to just have our head in the sand like an ostrich and only see what is going on in all those, you know, sector of our lives. So God has impressed the Kingdom of God Ministries to just hold a service over the Internet. And we thank the Lord for modern technology. But before we go any further, we want to just open up with prayer. Father God, we just thank you, and we just want to just acknowledge your presence tonight. Lord God, we ask that you have your way, Lord God. We know that the world celebrates the New Year's with the partying and all things that they do with the New Year's, but Lord God, we're going to honor you. We're going to pray and worship you tonight, Father God. Lord, we ask that you be with us. We ask that you just continue to word our mouths. Help us to deliver the message that you have placed on our hearts. Lord God, and to the listening audience, we ask that you touch them. Lord God, heal, set free. Lord God, we know that you are a healer. We know that you are a deliverer. We know that you came to set the captives free. And Lord God, you do honor your prayers that go up before you. And we just thank you, Lord God. We just give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. And like we were saying that we couldn't start 2013 out, first of all, without worshiping and thanking God. I don't care what situation may have come upon us, we still have something to be thankful for. And like I say, unlike the world, we don't shoot the new year in. We don't party the new year in, but we pray the new year in. And I think that's what the church needs to do. And we've got our text scripture tonight, 2 Chronicles 7:14. And we have posted it on the web, but for those who don't know it, we can read that. And let me get to that right quick. 2 Chronicles 2:7-14. It says, and it's a familiar scripture to some, but I'm going to read it anyway. All right, let's go here. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. And we see the caller, he was on the line, he or she, but if you want to call back, caller, you can. If you had a testimony or you wanted prayer, you feel free to call back. But this is what God has said. If my people, he doesn't say to the heathen, but he said the people who are called by his name, those who are associated with Christ Jesus, if we would seek his face, we would humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways. And you may say, well, if they was his people, how was they living in their wicked ways? Because, hey, this is what we've been preaching on. A lot of the church nowadays is living just like the world is. You can believe out of those millions of people down there at Times Square, all of them is not unbelievers. So this is not to bring conviction, but it's just to let you know that we are in serious times and we need to pray. We don't have time for a lot of games and, you know, things that's been going on in the body of Christ. Church, it's time to pray. And when I bring out some of these things, catastrophic events that happened throughout 2012, this is why we have been burdened to come to you in your comfort of your homes, because we know a lot of people can't get out to the midnight service tonight. So we coming to you live in the comfort of your own home with prayer. And we ask that you pray. And you know one thing, I was asking God, I say, boy, if the church could be like the world, I mean, they can get together to party. The world can get together for sports events, for partying, but it's hard to get the church to get together for anything. I mean, think about the impact we could make if a million of us could gather at Times Square and just pray the New Year in. We give the devil everything. Church. That's why the world don't look at us and want what we have, because we just take everything so lightly. But when the world do something, they do it big. They get all the big-time entertainers. They pay millions of dollars to fly these entertainers in just to have a party. And the church can't come together for anything, not even to pray. It's so sad. We got a lot of friends to do. All right, I wanted to bring out some of the headlines that had happened and made the news over 2012. And you know, these are 16 mass shootings that happened in 2012, okay? So you know the number one that made the top of the list, the number one shooting was in Newtown. And that happened December 14, 2012. A lot of people have forgotten about that already. But we couldn't even go into 2013 without remembering those who were tragically killed. Because today, December 14th, today nearly indescribable tragedy in Newtown, Connecticut, where 27 people, including 18 children, were shot to death inside an elementary school, is at least the 16th mass shooting to take place in America this year. The death toll is now at 84. This was throughout the whole year. So up until this point, there were 84 people that had been tragically killed in mass shootings. And here is a list of the fatal mass shootings that has taken place since January 1st of last year. Well, we ain't into 2013, but January 1st, 2012. Okay, let's look at these mass shootings. February 22nd, 2012. Five people were killed in a Korean health spa in Norcross, Georgia, when a man opened fire inside the facility in an act suspected to be related to domestic violence. February 26, 2012. Multiple gunmen began firing into a nightclub crowd in Jackson, Tennessee, killing one person and injuring 20 others. February 27, 2012. Three students at Chardon High School in rural Ohio were killed when a classmate opened fire. March 8, 2012. Two people were killed and seven wounded at a psychiatric hospital in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, when a gunman entered the hospital with two semi-automatic handguns and began firing. March 31, 2012. A gunman opened fire on a crowd of mourners at a North Miami, Florida funeral home, killing two people and injuring 12 others. April 2, 2012. A 43-year-old former student at Oikos University in Oakland, California, walked into his former school and killed seven people execution style. Three were wounded. April 6, 2012. Two men went out on a deadly shooting spree in Tulsa, shooting black men at random in an apparent racially motivated attack. Three men died, two were wounded. May 29, 2012. A man in Seattle, Washington, opened fire in a coffee shop and killed five people and then himself. July 9, 2012. A soccer tournament in Wilmington, Delaware. Three people were killed, including a 16-year-old player and the event organizer, when multiple gunmen began firing shots, apparently targeting the organizer. July 20th, 2012. James Holmes enters a midnight screening, The Dark Knight Rises, and opens fire with a semi-automatic weapon. 12 people are killed and 58 are wounded. August 5th, 2012. A white supremacist, a former Army veteran, shot 6 people to death inside a Sikh temple in suburban Milwaukee, Wisconsin, before killing himself. August 14, 2012. 3 people are killed at Texas A&M University when a 35-year-old man went on a shooting rampage. One of the dead was a police officer. September 27, 2012. A 36-year-old man who had just been laid off from Accent signage systems in Minneapolis, Minnesota, entered his former workplace and shot 5 people to death and wounded 3 others before killing himself. October 21st, 2012. 45-year-old Radcliffe Franklin Hofton shot 3 women to death, including his wife, Zena Hofton, and injured 4 others at a spa in Brookfield, Wisconsin, before killing himself. December 11, 2012. A 22-year-old began shooting at random at a mall near Portland, Oregon, killing 2 people and then himself. December 14, 2012, and this is the new town, one man and possibly more murders of reported 26 people at an elementary school in Newtown, Connecticut, including 20 children, before killing himself. So are you convinced now we need to pray? Let's continue on. These are just some of the worst disasters of 2012. Extreme weather, natural disasters. 2012 saw many natural disasters. Strike across the globe, killing thousands and inflicting billions of dollars in property and infrastructural damage. From hurricanes and earthquakes to droughts, heat waves, and wildfires. Events were both widespread and severe. Hurricane Sandy was one of the most prominent disasters of the year in the U.S., killing at least 125 people and inflicting at least $62 billion in damage. According to the Associated Press, the storm also killed 71 people in the Caribbean. Much of the U.S. was also plagued by prolonged extreme weather. The country saw a severe summer heat wave and a drought, which may prove more costly than Sandy. Researchers note that the 2012 drought was the worst since 1988 and is on par with those of the 1950s. The drought came amid a year which by mid-December had an over 99% chance of being the warmest ever recorded for the U.S. In the American West, the 2012 wildfires season had already burned about 30% more area than in the average year by September, with nearly 2 months still to go in the fire season. According to the Climate Central, they note in the past 40 years, rising spring and summer temperatures, along with shrinking winter snowpack, have increased the risk of wildfires in most parts of the West. Recent computer modeling and satellite observations suggest the area burned by wildfires in the U.S. will likely double it by 2050, And I'm just going on to show you that these were extreme weather events that hit the U.S. this year. Around the world, major earthquakes struck Italy, the Philippines, Iran, and Afghanistan. The Philippines were also slammed by Typhoon Bapha, which claimed over 1,000 lives and left many more homeless. So these are just a sample of some of the things that the world, the nation, the country has endured over the last year. And this is why it was a burden on our heart to pray, not party, but pray. Because we don't want to be, we don't want people all there to doom and gloom, and every year these preachers come out. Well, common sense would tell you, with all these catastrophic events and all this mass shooting and all this demonic activity going on throughout the land, how do you have time to party? How do you have time to slumber and sleep when we have so much devastation going on? Don't think it's all well because you may have a job and your little house is standing and no calamity has hit you, but your neighbor may be going through. So it's good. If you is doing good and everything is well at your house, then pray for your neighbor. Pray for that one who may have not had a job, who lost his job due to this financial, if they go off the cliff. There's going to be people who don't have income. Stop thinking only about yourself. That's why God put on our heart to pray. Let's go to some of these scriptures, and then I'm going to yield the floor over to Pastor Bobby. We're not going to be rushed tonight. Like I said, the floor is open. If God put it on your heart, if you want to share, we don't want to do all the talking tonight, but maybe God want to put it on your heart and you want to share with us. Let's go over here to Daniel, and I wanted to bring something out with Daniel. And this is how you get the attention of God, by being on your knees, by praying. Because we're in a time now, saints, where we don't have time to play games. You know, we're not going to get up here and you know, a lot of them pump you up for the new year and tell you that 2013 is going to be your year of prosperity. I don't know what it's going to be, but I know I'm going to start it off with praying. God has blessed us in 2012. I was out of a job for 6 months, but God blessed me to find a job. Right before my unemployment ended, God had already made a job for me to walk right into it. So what am I saying? Even if we go off the financial cliff, God will sustain his people. All my bills were paid. My mortgage was paid. I didn't miss a beat because God already had his hand on me. But if you think we're going to be sitting up here telling you to next year's going to be a plenty for everybody, I can't tell you that. But I can tell you to trust in God, because God will supply your every need according to his riches. I'm not trying to get rich quick scheme here, but we're going to tell you the truth. Okay, Daniel 6 and 10. Let's go over here to Daniel 6 and 10. And it reads, okay, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. Now think about this. When he knew that the writing was signed, it's something like going on today with Congress. When he heard that, just say Congress was going to sign this decree, okay? It says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave God thanks before his God. And prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. So you see, Daniel was a praying man. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. So this is what God is looking for. He wants people that's going to communicate with him. How do we communicate? On our knees. By talking to God. Because a lot of these situations that I just read to you, all these catastrophes and calamities, it's going to take prayer. That is going to be the only thing that can release us out of some of these demonic things that have come up on the land. Now let's go over here to Philippians. I'm just talking about prayer, and that's why it's so important, because a lot of times the church don't talk about prayer. But this is something we need to revisit over and over, that if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray. It's praying time, not party time, but praying time. Let's go over here to Philippians, Philippians 4 and 6. And it reads, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Philippians 4 and 6. Okay, let's go on over to Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 7. And you might be saying, well, Sister Kathy, why are you reading all these scriptures on prayer? Because I want you to know the value of prayer. Oh, prayer is much needed. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It says, pray without ceasing. This should be the life of a saint. We should always be praying, interceding on behalf, like I said, not so much as asking God for some of the stuff we want, but we should be interceding for our government, that God would put godly men and women in the government. Do you hear what Daniel did when he heard that they were signing a decree? You don't know what Congress is planning to do with the Christians. You need to be praying that God would put godly men and women in offices where some of these demonic attacks on Christianity and the church would not go into fruition. Don't just sit here idly by and think all is well. Because the devil, he don't love you. He don't like you. And whatever way he can, he want to stop you or stop me or anyone else from preaching the gospel. So it's time to pray. Let's go over here to 1 Kings 8 and 30. And then after I read this one, then I'm going to get out your way. But 1 Kings, let's go over here. It says 1 Kings 8 and 30 reads. And if you have your Bible, you could just go along with me and read with me. Amen? And you may hear, and may you hear the supplication of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place here in heaven, your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. Okay? That was 8:30. And then if you go on down to 8:44, it says, when your people go out to battle against their enemy, wherever you send them, and when they pray to the Lord toward the city which you have chosen and the temple which I have built for your name. Amen? 1 Kings 8:48. And when they return to you with all their heart and with all their soul, in the land of their enemies who led them away captive, and pray to you toward their land which you gave to their fathers, the city which you have chosen, and the temple which I have built for your name. Then hear in heaven your dwelling place, their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause, and forgive your people who have sinned against you, and all their transgressions which they have transgressed against you, and grant them compassion before those who took them captive, that they may have compassion on them. Amen? So you see, when we start praying God, and when we truly start praying in forgiveness and repentance, God will hear you. God will move. And I'm praying that God will raise up ministers of the gospel that will teach the word of God. Time out for all this materialistic gospel. We need to be teaching the word because people are dying daily. As we speak tonight, before the clock hits 12 o'clock tonight, somebody ain't going to make it into the year 2013. But I pray to God that when my voice go out, if you don't know God tonight, you can go right there where you are, right there in your room, right there at your home, fall on your knees, ask God to forgive you. Ask God to come into your heart. It don't have to be at a church service. Wherever you are, you can ask God into your heart tonight. Okay, let's go over here to Psalms. Psalms 5 and 7. Like I said, the phone lines are open. We have a phone line number. If you want to call in, it's 323-375-0849. And when you call in, just press the 1 and we can bring you into the studio. Again, the call-in number is 323-375-0849. Okay, let's go over here to Psalms. And this is still talking about prayer, but I'm just bringing out a few scriptures for you. Some of you may already know them. Some of you may not. But it's good to just go back over the scriptures. Amen? Let's go over here to Psalms. Psalms 5 and 7 reads, "But as for me," and it says, "but as for me, I will come unto your house in the multitude of your mercy. In the fear of you, I will worship toward your holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before my face. Amen. So we're going to just yield the floor over to Pastor Bobby. And one more thing, I just wanted to read Acts 16. And then after that, then I will turn the floor over to Pastor Bob. Amen. Acts 16, 25 through 33. Let's go there right quick. Okay, Acts 16, 25 through 33. "But at midnight, Paul and Silas," remember, midnight, we're almost coming up on midnight, "but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them." I hope somebody that is a prisoner might be a prisoner in your own mind. You might, the devil may have you captive. You may be bound up. You may be a prisoner. But listen to what I'm saying tonight. "But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prisons were shaken. And immediately, all of the doors were open, and everyone's chains were loose." God can break the chains tonight. God can set you free tonight. You don't have to be bound up. He can break them. But call out to God. "And the keeper of the prison, awakened from his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposed the prisoners had fled, drew his sword, and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, 'Do yourself no harm, for we are all here.' Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas." See, when you see the power of God moving and manifesting, you won't be the same. "And he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?'" He had enough revelation to know the power of God. And this is what you may be saying tonight. "What must I do to be saved? Because I want the anointing. I want the power. What must I do to be saved?" "So they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household.' Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized." Amen. Talking about the power of God. God is awesome. He's just wonderful, and this is what he's doing. He's still saying that he wants you to call out to him if you're bound up. And then I'm sure he will go, but over in James 5:13-20, where he would say James prayed so much, his nickname was Camomile because he stayed on his knees. So this is all we're just saying. We just need church. Let's come together. Let's pray. Let's ask God to heal the land. Let's ask God to raise up ministers of the gospel that's going to teach the word of God and not compromise the word of God, because we're in peerless times, and We just ask that you continue to pray for the Kingdom of God Ministries. We're expecting God to do some great things in the year 2013. We're asking God to send the people. We get a lot of people on the blog talk, but we have a physical location where we meet as well. And if you're in the Atlanta area and you just want to come and fellowship, come by. We're at 9550 Bell Ferry Road. That's in Canton, Georgia, right outside of Atlanta, Georgia. So God put a burden on our heart to start the ministry here in Canton, and we're going to be faithful to what he has called us to do, and we ask that you continue to keep us in prayer. If God touch your heart to sow a donation, we don't ask for tithes, because we ask God to touch your heart to give what he sees fit for you to give. So we try to not to do anything with burden or compulsion, but we ask God to just touch your heart to give. So with that, I'm going to yield the floor. You guys be blessed. We're going to come back before 12 o'clock, and we're going to all just say a corporate prayer, and then we're going to close out. So with that, I'm yielding the floor to Pastor Bobby, and God bless you. Amen.
Praise the Lord. We want to just thank the Lord for everything that Sister Montgomery said in reference to the scripture, in reference to the things that has happened over 2012. And there were some other things I wanted to bring up. And one thing that I would like to say in reference to everything that has been said, the reason that we are speaking the way we're speaking is because we are relating these things to Bible, scripture, and the things that Jesus has said. Jesus said some things in Matthew 24 and over in Luke 21 and 25. He says some things, he prophesied some things that are actually happening right now. Now, when Jesus said these things, that was over 1,900 years ago. So that was a great prophecy that he prophesied, that he spoke. And he was speaking in these times. And that's the reason that we're speaking on things in reference to weather. We're speaking on things in reference to the hardness and coldness of men's heart that's happening right now, how people can just destroy other people for no apparent reason. Jesus spoke of these things. But we're going to get into that, and we're going to take our time and do it. Now, Sister Montgomery had spoken in reference to Sandy, which was a horrible storm that caused billions and billions of dollars in damage. And I'm going to speak in reference to various tornadoes. I know a lot of people are saying, well, these things have always happened. Yes, they have, but they haven't happened in the frequency that they have happened. Do you realize that Sandy was a unique storm and that this was a hurricane that did something that no hurricane in history of the United States has done? This particular hurricane was going a particular way out in the Atlantic Ocean. It was going north out in the Atlantic Ocean, almost straight north, and then just hook immediately east toward that area there, toward New Jersey and the East Coast. It just hooked straight over and went straight over and hit the East Coast around New York in that area. That has never happened in the history of the United States. Well, why am I saying that? Because these are things that our Lord and Savior prophesied and spoke in reference to the weather. Now, I'm going to bring that out in Scripture to you to let you know that I'm not just making up something and I'm not just speaking something. The Lord spoke of all these things, and I'm saying this for a point. That's the reason we're going to pray a little later, because a lot of things that we said and what we brought out in Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, is that when you pray and God comes on the scene, when you said he'll heal the land, he means he will heal people and he will heal the land, and that the way God intended things to be on the earth, that's the way it will be. In other words, we will not have all these horrendous, horrifying storms. You say, well, what does that have to do? Well, you know, God is in control of everything. We might not think he is in total control, but he is in control. But when you make a choice, when you make a choice to deny and go from God and reject God and kick God out of everything in your life, guess what? You have made a choice to go and lean on a being, the devil, that wants to destroy you. And he will destroy you in any way that he can. Remember, the enemy, the devil, is the prince and the power of the air. So that means he does have something to do with the weather. He said, what are you talking about, Pastor Montgomery? Remember Job? When God moved the hedge away from Job, what did the enemy do? He sent a windstorm to destroy his children. Read Job. Don't just take my word for it. Read Job. So that lets you know that the enemy does have an element of control over the weather, over the wind. He is the prince and the power of the air. So God can take care of that, but when you give your members over to the devil, when you kick the Lord out of everything that you do and everything that you say, you make a choice to go to the enemy. You kick the Lord out, you want to kick the Lord out of the schools, you want to kick the Lord out of the government, you want to kick the Lord out of what you look at, you want to kick the Lord out of what you listen to, you want to kick God out of what you read, you want to make choices that's contrary to the things and the will of God. Well, when you do that, you open the door to the enemy. And when you open the door to the enemy, he's going to come in and he's going to wreak havoc in your life. And what the enemy does when he comes up and slaps you upside your head, then he points to God and tells you that God did it. God did these horrifying, murderous storms. God called somebody to go out and shoot up hundreds of people at random. God does all these evil things. That's what the devil tells you. But no, God didn't do those things. You know who did it? Satan and you. Because you made the choice to follow after the enemy. And the enemy doesn't love you. He despises you. And he wants you to separate yourself from the only one that can defeat him, which is God in Christ, and you. You can defeat him too, but you can only do it through Christ Jesus. Now, I'm going to read a few things, and then I'm going to go to the Word, and then we'll do some prayer tonight. Now, this is in reference to various tornadoes in the land. Southeast Ohio Valley tornadoes, March 2nd through 3rd in 2012. Says the most violent and deadliest tornado outbreak of 2012 occurred in early March as a strong area of low pressure evolved across the eastern United States. At least 75 tornadoes were confirmed across the states of Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, Kentucky, Indiana, Illinois, and Ohio. This deadly outbreak caused the deaths of 42 people. And it's estimated to cost around $4 billion in damages. This outbreak was unusual in that it occurred so early in the year. Severe weather outbreaks do typically occur in the Deep South in early March. However, the Midwest and Ohio River Valley were also included in the March 2012 severe weather outbreak, which meant extremely warm temperatures and high dew points pushed that far north in latitude in March 2012. 75 tornadoes through Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, Kentucky, Indiana, Illinois, and Ohio. You got Texas tornadoes. April 2 through the 3rd, 2012. Listen at this. Early April, 2012. Several moderate strength tornadoes, EF2s and EF3s, affected towns and neighborhoods in this area with a total of 22 confirmed tornadoes. Wow. 22 confirmed tornadoes. Fortunately, there were no deaths from this event, but the damage was at $1.3 billion. Some of the hardest hit areas included in the cities of Kennedale, Arlington, Lancaster, Dallas, and Forney. That's similar to the March 2 through 3rd, 2012 tornadoes. Look, then I'm going to read some things. Great Plains tornadoes, April 13 through 14, 2012. These tornadoes were EF3 tornadoes. And now these tornadoes killed 6 people in Woodward, Oklahoma on April 14, 2012. Now this tornado was another billion-dollar disaster of 2012. It says a rare high-risk area warning across the Great Plains, including Kansas, Oklahoma, Nebraska, and Iowa. April 13 through 14, outbreak produced 98 confirmed tornadoes and included many tornadoes that remained on the ground for an extended time and traveled tens of miles. This outbreak killed 6 people. Those people dying in Woodward, Oklahoma, the disaster is responsible for nearly $2 billion in damages. Midwest Ohio Valley severe weather. 38 confirmed tornadoes. All right, now in the Southern Plains, Midwest, Northeast severe weather, 27 confirmed tornadoes. Storms pushed through Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Minnesota, Pennsylvania, and New York. Most of those storms produced significant damage due to strong winds over 60 miles per hour and large hail. Estimated to have approximately $2.5 billion and to kill one person. Rockies, Southwest severe weather. Listen at this. The Rockies and Southwest United States between June 6th through 2012, severe storms that contained damaging hail occurred over several states that included Colorado, New Mexico, and Texas. During this outbreak of severe storms, there was a total of 25 confirmed tornadoes across the region. Colorado experienced over $1 billion in damage due to hail alone. And altogether, the storms estimated to cost $3 billion in damages. So you see, people, it's time to pray. Look, I've just mentioned over 100 different tornadoes in the United States, all over the country. You say, well, we always have them. Yeah, we have always had tornadoes, but not like this. Not in this frequency and not of this intensity. And not for the length of time that these tornadoes and windstorms stay on the ground. Yes, we need to pray because these things can only be handled by God. We have no power over the weather. But God has all power. But in order for God to move, we have to turn to God. We have to pray. We have to seek the Lord. We have to surrender ourselves to Him. We have to repent. People of God, we have to repent. America, we have to repent. We have to seek God. Now, those were just a few things. Now you have wildfires. You have drought. We have every negative aspect of weather right here in this country. Now, I'm going to go to Matthew 24. Now, our guest call-in number is 1-323-375-0849. If you have a testimony You can feel free to give a brief testimony. If you have something you would like to add or say, you can call in and do that. We're giving you time. You can call in, and when we see your number, we'll give the last four digits of your number, and you can speak forth. Now, I'm going to read Matthew 24, and this is Jesus speaking. I'm going to read 24, and then I'm going to go to Luke. And this is Jesus. As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, I'm going to read something to you that's common. The disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Interesting, because you remember somebody put out some kind of saying in December 12, 2021, that everything was going to come to an end. We're still here. Praise God. So they were asking some questions, and that didn't happen. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrow." So people, all these things that we're experiencing now are only the beginning of sorrows. All right? "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Saints, people, all of you that are listening, we are living in the last days. Look around you. Look at the things that are happening. Look at the evil that is in the world. And don't blame all this evil on God. Blame it on who is worthy of blame, and that is the evil one, the devil, and those that follow him. Now, Luke 21 and 25 reads like this: "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations and perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring." Now, this is what Jesus is saying. "Men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth now." Now, Jesus spoke of the various signs and the wonders in the sky. Now, many times you hear people talking about eclipses and solar flares that are supposed to affect the earth negatively. We've had all kinds of earthquakes. We've been having all kinds of things happening in the heavens, strange weather, strange celestial activity in the sky, all these strange things happening. But Jesus said those things would happen. But when those things start happening, that's letting you know that the Lord is on his way back. He's on his way back. And we have to prepare for that. Now, how do you prepare for that? You prepare for that by accepting the Lord, by changing your ways, by repenting, by accepting the Lord as your personal Savior, by getting in the Bible, by reading the Bible, by believing the Bible, by believing what the Lord says. The Lord's, God's word doesn't change. When he said, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Plain and simple. All through Scripture. All through Scripture. It's simple. There's nothing hard about it. There's nothing hard about it. The only thing we have to do is humble ourselves. Drop the pride. Drop the unbelief. Drop the disbelief. Drop all the doubt. Get rid of all of that. And seek the Lord. You know there's a God. You know it is. You know it is. So accept him. All these things that's happening, people are dying by the hundreds of thousands and by the millions. Many of them are dying by the hundreds of thousands and by the millions without God. Without God. Without Jesus. You say, well, I don't believe that. Somebody says, I don't believe that. Somebody said, when you die, you die. Somebody said, I got my own way. My religion will get me in there. I don't have to accept the Lord. I can do it my way. I'm sorry. It doesn't work that way. There's only one way for eternity in Christ Jesus, and that's through Christ Jesus. That's the only way. Don't be deceived. Don't believe the lies of the devil. Don't believe his demons. Don't believe anything he says. Don't believe New Age. Don't believe the New World religion. Don't believe all these other false doctrines and false religions, because there's only one way, and that's through Christ Jesus. No other being, no other man has died, come back to life, and is yet living, and is yet interceding for us, that made a way for us to be saved with his own life and with his own blood. It was Jesus. It was Jesus. Now, I'm going to read another few things to you, and then we're going to be getting ready to go a different way. Now, and this is Jesus speaking also, and he spake to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, and you see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise, you, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. You know what Jesus said?
Yeah.
That you be able to go through all these things that come to pass. You'll be able to escape them. The only way you can escape them is through Christ, is to have a relationship with Christ. Do you all not know that things are transpiring right now to take your liberty? And when I say liberty, I'm mostly talking about religious liberties or spiritual liberties, to bind you to the yoke of the enemy. They're doing those things now. Now, they're not telling you that, but they are. Now,
Pastor,
it's amazing.
Bob,
yeah.
It's almost 12, and we wanted to, you know, start with prayer by 12 o'clock. So I just invite those, if you want to call in, again, the number is 323-375-0849. At 12 o'clock, we will start the prayer. And if you have prayer requests, be sure to call in, and we'll be praying. Amen.
Amen. Yes, we have about a minute, so many seconds. So, as you said, that's 323-375-0849. 323-375-0849. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Right.
Praise your name. Amen. It is. Amen. We're now going on 2013. Amen. And we're 2013 now. And praise God. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, first of all, we thank you. We give you honor and glory and praise for blessing us through 2012. Up until this very moment, we thank you because 2012 was a rough year.
A whole
lot of negative things happened in 2012. But, Lord, you kept us. You kept us. You kept us, Lord. You brought us through it. You brought us through it. You blessed us and you brought us through it. So we say thank you, Lord. We say thank you, Lord, for your grace and for your mercy, for your authority and for your power. We say glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name. Now, Father God, we're not going to just talk about the bad things. We're not going to just pray about the negative things, but we're going to pray about the good and gracious things that you have done. Father God, we thank you and give you honor and glory for those that you saved. For those that you filled with your precious Holy Ghost. For those that you healed. For those that you delivered. For those that you set free. For those that you worked a mighty work in their lives, Lord, that they have a mighty testimony to give glory to you, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Bless your holy name. Glory to God.
Bless your name, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord, David said, if I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't praise you enough. And I thank you. Lord, we thank you for everything that you've done. We give you the honor, the glory, all of the praise. Father God, we thank you for your son, Jesus. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for what you've done. You made a way for our salvation. You made a way for our redemption. And not only did you do that, but you also sent us a paraclete, a comforter, someone that would be by our side and lead us and guide us and teach us all the ways of the truth, the word, and the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Spirit that gives us strength and authority over the evil one. And we thank you for that, Lord. For we know that we could not survive without you. Lord, we know we would not have any power or authority over the evil one without you. So we say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Lord Jesus. We thank you for the power and the authority that you have given us over the evil one. But we realize, Lord, that it's not by our power or our authority, but it's by your authority. It is by your name, Jesus. Jesus Christ of Nazareth has given us the authority and the power over the evil one, and the only thing we have to do is exercise it through prayer. And through the knowledge of the Scripture, and by the Holy Ghost, and that with power. It's not by our authority. Oh, glory to God. It's not by our power in our own humanity, but it is the power of the Holy Ghost. It is the power of the Spirit. It is by the Word of God. It is by the Holy Ghost. It is by Jesus Christ that we have this authority and that we have this power to set the captives free. Jesus Christ. And we say, thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Praise your name.
You,
thank you, Lord.
Glory.
Praise. Father God, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we're going to do what the Scripture says to do. We're going to lift up our government. We're going to lift up our officials. We're going to lift up our politicians. Father God, we ask right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you have the power to touch their minds. You have the power to touch their hearts, Lord, that they will do the things that you would desire them to do, Father God, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Touch them, Lord. Touch them, Lord. Touch them, Lord. For this nation needs you, Father. This nation needs you, Father God, in the name of Jesus.
Name of Jesus.
Our elected officials need you. The president needs you. The vice president needs you. Congress needs you. The House needs you. The Senate needs you. All our legislatures need you. All our executives need you. Everybody in the judicial branch, they need you, Father. They need you, Father. They need you, Father, Lord. Touch them, Lord. Touch them, Lord. Touch them, Lord. Let them move in the righteousness of God. Let them move in the holiness of God.
Thank you.
Let the righteousness of God move through them. Touch their hearts. Touch their hearts and touch their minds, Lord. That they will cease to be so political and begin to be more righteous. Oh, Lord God.
Yes.
Get the politics out. Get the politics out of the politician. And put righteousness, Lord, down in their heart. Put righteousness in their mind. Put righteousness in their mouth. That they can leave this country in righteousness. That they can leave this country in holiness. That's what is needed, Lord. We don't need politicians. We don't need anybody educated in the way of the world. We need godly wisdom. Father, we need holy wisdom. We need your wisdom, Father God, and your wisdom supersedes every other wisdom. Your knowledge supersedes all knowledge. For you are all-knowing, and you're omnipotent. Omniscience. Oh, hallelujah. And you're everywhere all the time. So, yes, Lord, we need you. And we thank you. And we're praying in faith that you move in this nation. We're asking that, Lord. We're asking that, and we're believing for that.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, we're not giving up on this nation. We're not going to give up and surrender to the things that the enemy is doing. We're praying, for that's what you tell us to do. Yes, you tell us to pray. You tell us to agree on some things.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory.
You tell us to come together on some things on the earth in prayer. And when we come together and when we agree in prayer, touching on anything. You said anything, Lord Jesus. So that includes our government. So we're touching an agreement on the welfare of our government.
Yes.
And we ask that you come in and move in a mighty way. We know that it's not too hard. There's nothing too hard for you, God.
Yes,
Lord. So we lift our government up to you, for we know that it's out of our hands. It's out of the government hands. There's really nothing they can do in their own human power. Father, Father God, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Yahweh Elohim, Yeshua, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. For we know that you can. And we know that you will. For we are living in the last days, and we know that you are on your way back.
Yes.
So, Lord, we are seeking your face.
Yes.
We're seeking your power, Father. We're seeking your deliverance. We're going to do what you told us to do. Oh, Father God, you tell us in your word, Lord Jesus, you tell us in your word that when we pray, when we fast, when we seek your face, when we do act in obedience to you, Lord, that you'll move on our behalf. You'll meet us. You'll grant our requests in righteousness, in holiness, that you will do what we ask. Because we're not asking anything of ourselves. We're not asking out of greed. We're not asking for a material blessing. We're asking, Father God, that your spirit be poured out as you prophesied in your word, that your spirit be poured out on all flesh, on all men, starting from our government on down to just regular people. And that's what we're asking, Lord. For we know that in you, Father, that there's no great or small. We know, Father God, that we are all your children, but you tell us in your word that all souls are yours, but the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Shall be totally separated from you, and we don't want that, Lord. We want to behold you. We want to be with you, Father. We want to please you, Father God. And we want to be a living witness to you. Father God, it is our desire that the kingdom of God be manifest on earth through us so that people can see and recognize you, Father God. And that's what we're seeking. You tell us in your word, Lord, you told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, Lord, you told us to do that. And that's what we're going to do. And that's what we're doing. But the nation needs to do that. The nation needs to accept the Lord. The nation needs to fall on its knees. The nation needs to pray. Because we're living in evil time. Anytime you have people dying by the hundreds of thousands, you have all these horrible storms happening that's taking our people, that's destroying lands, causing billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars worth of damage. People, it's out of our hands. Let us recognize God. Let us call on God. Let us repent. Let us seek the face of the Lord. Let us call on Jesus. Because when you call on the Lord, he'll answer your prayer. When you call on the Lord, he'll heal the land. Oh, glory to God. When you call on the Lord, he'll touch your body. He'll heal your body. He'll heal your mind. He'll heal your soul. He'll give you a new spirit. He'll make you a new man. He'll make you a new woman. He'll make you a new boy and a new girl. And the only thing you have to do is just call on him. Drop the pride. Drop the arrogance. People, nation, America, turn back to God. Turn back to God. Turn back to God. He's standing right there. He's got his hands out. He's knocking at the door. Only thing you have to do is open it. Only thing you have to do is open the door, people. And he'll come in and he will sup with you. But the Lord God is not going to go against your will. He's not going to go against your will. He gave you a will. He gave you a choice. He's not going to be like the devil. The devil will come against, he will go against your will. He doesn't care. He will go against your will. But God is giving you a choice. God says, choose life. Choose life. He's not going to make the choice for you. You have to make the choice. And when you make the choice for the Lord, things will begin to look up for you. Things will turn for the better. Because when you turn to the Lord, when you seek the Lord, all things work together for the good to them who are the called and who are the chosen of the Lord. God will work it out for the better. Did you have something you want to bring out?
I wanted to just read this. It's coming out of Daniel 9. And
yeah.
This is right on what we're talking about. He said, then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplication and fasting, sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord, my God, and made confessions and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes. This is what I'm saying to the president. To the presidents, to the senators, turn to God. Your servants, the prophets, who have spoken your name to your kings and your princes, to your our fathers and all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us shame of face as it is this day to men of Judah. And it just go on to say, we have to turn to God. And this is why we are praying tonight. We are opening the phone lines. We just believe in God that this year God is going to raise up men and women who will not compromise the gospel. I believe that God is going to, people are going to be coming. I believe some of the senators. I believe even the president. I pray that the Lord visit him in his bedside chamber, that he have a true revelation of who Jesus is, not just in words, but actually a lifestyle.
Amen.
That he will not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because I'm going to tell you something, once you truly get the Holy Ghost, you're not like Brother Bob said, there ain't going to be politics as usual. But there will be a relationship, and people will know that the living God is living inside of you. So with that, we're going to close it out. Like I said, if you're in the Canton area, come by. We'd be so happy to have you. We have our service every Sunday at 11 a.m. And it's just, you know, we just meet for fellowship. We get the word. We love on each other, and then we go home. So we're just happy that God, we have seen another year, 2013. We ask that you be blessed. And with that, we will see you next week. Be blessed. Amen.
Be blessed. Amen. We thank the Lord for all you all listeners on tonight. And we'll meet y'all and to listen to you. Listen to us another time. Be blessed and goodbye.